And then the next talk is going to be, is entitled Total Pancreatectomy with Islet Auto Transplantation. Who is a candidate? With Will Lancaster from Charlotte. I'm sorry, Charleston.
Thank you, Dr. Dion. Thank you, Dr. Morgan, for having me. I'm going to be talking about total pancreatectomy with islet cell auto transplantation, in particular, when and how. I have no disclosures. So, total pancreatectomy is a radical operation, and it involves islet cell auto transplantation. And the real question is, when do you do it? Which patients benefit from this? And then, how is it technically accomplished? And as Dr. Baker alluded to previously, the morphology of the disease is an important consideration in terms of which surgical procedure to choose, and certainly it's important to modify your surgical plan based on the morphology of the patient's disease. But in particular, in situations where you don't have an obvious duct obstruction and no identifiable target within the gland, these are patients that you consider a total pancreatectomy. And as has been alluded to several times within this session, the pain of chronic pancreatitis is severe, and it also has multiple anatomic sites driving it. But I think it's important to note that the pancreas is the most richly innervated visceral organ. And so when we reviewed our series of surgery for chronic pancreatitis, from a period of 1977 to 1991 and looked at long-term outcomes in terms of pain relief in patients that had lateral pancreatojejunostomy, Whipple, or distal pancreatectomy, and looked at the long-term pain relief, we found that at least 50% of patients over the long-term had relatively poor pain control. And so one of the most important considerations is patient selection when considering a total pancreatectomy. And so these considerations or selection criteria include failure of medical, endoscopic, and surgical interventions with intractable symptoms, patients with, quote, small duct chronic pancreatitis, recurrent acute pancreatitis, whether there's a hereditary component to the pancreatitis, and the patient must be physiologically and probably just as important, psychologically fit. And so a few years ago in the New England Journal of Medicine, it was highlighted that medicine is not a binary field. There's not a lot of black and white when you're talking about making decisions, you know, what's effective versus ineffective, what's appropriate versus inappropriate. And so this term was coined, so-called gray zone medicine, where all options should be available to patients and tailored to individual patients. And importantly, patient selection is fundamentally important, yet it's largely unstudied. And total pancreatectomy falls within this gray zone range. It's definitely very important in terms of patient selection, and it's customized and tailored to each individual patient. And so what do we consider when we select patients for total pancreatectomy at MUSC? And we reviewed our series of just under 200 patients over the last 8 years, and looking at certain preoperative factors, majority of patients were women. The average age was 40 years old. 19% of them were diabetic, 27% were smokers, and 29% had some prior pancreatic operation with a mean duration of disease of 8.1 years. And so we looked at several outcomes in terms of quality of life in these patients. And if a patient's diabetic pre-op versus non-diabetic pre-op, they both had significant increases in quality of life after the operation. And the proportion of patients that were insulin-free who were diabetic pre-op obviously is lower than the patients who were non-diabetic pre-op. And so then we ask the question, well, what if you've had a previous pancreas operation and then undergo a completion completion pancreatectomy with islet cell transplantation? And we compared a group of patients with prior surgery to those with no prior surgery. And not unexpectedly, the islet yields were lower in patients that have had a prior operation. And the patients who have had prior surgery had higher insulin requirements. However, their quality of life improvement at 6 months and a year was comparable. So within our series, what are the risk factors that these patients have for chronic pancreatitis? Most commonly, papillary stenosis and what's increasingly being identified as a hereditary component. And then notably also, only 6% of our patients had alcohol as a risk factor. And the genetics of chronic pancreatitis are, I think, an evolving and very exciting field. The more that you look for these gene mutations, the more that you detect them. And 46 of the patients within our series have an identified gene mutation, with the most common being the CFTR, and then followed by PRSS1. And so we asked the question, do patients with genetic pancreatitis, those patients that undergo total pancreatectomy with an identifiable gene mutation, do they have better quality of life compared to patients that do not have a genetic component to their pancreatitis? And they do. So their postoperative outcomes are superior in terms of quality of life, and also with average daily pain score, both significantly higher and better in patients with a genetic mutation. In terms of perioperative outcomes, the complication rate, major complication rate, is about 20%. Mortality is low at 1%. The mean islet equivalent per kilogram transplant is about 3,000. And 45% of the time, we're able to place an intraoperative catheter to be used for islet transplantation. So looking at long-term results in terms of quality of life, all patients had a significant improvement in quality of life at 1 year. And these results were durable at the 5-year mark. And then looking at patients with hereditary pancreatitis, they had a greater improvement in quality of life compared to patients who did not have a hereditary component. And importantly, if patients are smokers and they continue to smoke, their quality of life outcomes are inferior to patients who do not smoke. And then another important question is, what proportion of patients will be insulin independent after the operation? And for all patients undergoing total pancreatectomy, at 1 year it's about 30%, and it declines over time. And this is an area of active research within islet cell autotransplantation. Several factors influence the likelihood of being insulin independent, including if you're a smoker, the likelihood of being insulin independent is lower, if you have a longer duration of disease, and if you had prior pancreatic surgery. And this stands to reason, as all of these represent ongoing destruction of the gland and the likelihood of islet harvest, or the number of islets harvested in these patients is decreased. And so we looked at that, and in particular in patients who have undergone a prior pancreatic operation, both the islet equivalents per kilogram transplanted and the islet pellet weight in patients that have undergone a Whipple or a Baeger, a distal pancreatectomy, or an LPJ was significantly decreased compared to patients who did not have any prior operation. And then what is the influence of requiring insulin on quality of life? Is there a correlation between a patient's quality of life and the amount of insulin that they require postoperatively? And we found that there's no correlation between the amount of insulin that the patient requires and their quality of life. And then I think, as everyone knows, patients with chronic pancreatitis tend to be high healthcare utilizers. And so we measured the effect of total pancreatectomy and used the used as a surrogate emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and then finally narcotic use in terms of post-operative outcomes. And what we found is that the number of emergency department visits preoperatively was 6, and decreased to 0 throughout the post-operative period. Similarly, the number of hospitalizations decreased to a median of 0. And in all patients, the mean daily morphine equivalent was 208, and it significantly decreased and also had a durable effect at 5 years. And in patients with hereditary pancreatitis, that while they had lower preoperative mean morphine equivalent requirements, postoperatively they decreased to essentially none. So how is it done? The pancreas is resected, and then it's sent to, it's placed in a cold, balanced preservative solution, and then sent to a clean cell facility where the pancreas is then enzymatically and mechanically digested and the islets are isolated. And then while this is going on, if possible, a branch of the middle colic vein is identified and then a catheter is placed through this middle colic vein and into the portal vein to be used for islet cell autotransplantation. And then the foregut is reconstructed. And so the patient is closed and transported to the ICU, sedated and intubated. And once the islets are ready, they're brought back from the clean cell facility. The patient is taken to interventional radiology where the islet cells are then infused into the portal vein. And portal pressures are monitored pre-infusion and during the infusion. And, a threshold of 30 millimeters of mercury is respected. And then once the islets are infused, the patient is taken back to the ICU and extubated. So these are our selection criteria for total pancreatectomy. And the patient must have chronic pancreatitis, which is evidenced by imaging criteria or by prior surgical pathology. The patient must have recurrent acute pancreatitis, which is at least two documented episodes with enzyme elevation and not related to a recent procedure. Pain intractable to medical management, and this is defined as daily narcotic use and or the inability to work, attend school, or engage in minimal societal roles. Again, the failure of previous medical endoscopic and surgical therapy, and again, they have to be physiologically fit. They have to be able to tolerate a major abdominal operation, and then importantly, they have to be psychologically fit, which we determine with a preoperative behavioral medicine evaluation. So a few take-home messages. Total pancreatectomy in the appropriately selected patient improves quality of life outcomes. It improves quality of life despite new or increase in daily insulin requirements. And quality of life in this patient population may be linked more closely to pain control than glucose control. And physical quality of life is improved more than mental health quality of life, and this is probably related to improved pain control. What are not contraindications to total pancreatectomy with islet cell autotransplantation? So pre-existing diabetes, prior pancreatic resection, alcoholic pancreatitis, and then so-called normal ductal morphology, minimal change disease. So who does best in terms of quality of life, post-operative insulin requirements, pain control, and nutrition? Patients with a genetic component or an identified genetic mutation, children and adolescents, which probably fall into the hereditary category as well. Patients who don't smoke do better than patients who smoke, and patients with early disease. Questions for the future include, do non-diabetic, non-narcotic dependent, non-multiple ERCP, patients without prior pancreatic surgery, patients without psychological disorders, are these patients that will do better with this operation? And as a small plug, we're trying to answer this question. There's an ongoing prospective observational trial of a multi-center trial of total pancreatectomy with islet cell autotransplantation. We hope to be able to answer some of those questions. Thank you.